This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A bit later in the hour, we'll be talking about genetic testing and the oldest recorded song. But up first, what is your city, your town, or your village doing to cut back on energy use or switch to some form of alternative energy? Well, that's the question one Wall Street Journal reporter and his colleagues asked recently, and they turned the spotlight on cities because the federal government has not taken the lead in cutting back and going green. There is no real national energy policy to interweave all the different states and cities. And then you look beyond the U.S. cities because Europe has many, many towns that are doing these things. So which cities are the ones to watch here and learn from? All over the world, perhaps. We'll start the hour today with a tour of some of those changes that already are producing results. For example, did you know that New York City is experimenting with tidal power turbines in the East River to make electricity? Or how about conservation in Palm Springs? California plans for local power generation. And we also have London doing some interesting things. So what do you think your town is doing or should be doing? Joining me now is Jim Carlton, a senior special writer for the Wall Street Journal in San Francisco. He joins us from his office there. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, Ari. How are you doing?
What is driving all of this?
There's really two major drivers. One is there's Al Gore and Inconvenient Truth. There's all this focus on global warming. We've seen ski-less winters in Europe. We're seeing polar bears drowning, and winters in New York City when the flowers start growing in February. That's one driver. The other driver is that power. The cost of power is going through the roof, and people are really kind of quite desperately trying to cut down on the cost of heating and cooling their homes and buildings.
For example, we've been talking recently about California utilities installing solar thermal power.
California really is a world leader in alternative energy and especially solar power, and this has been driven a lot by Arnold Schwarzenegger, our Terminator in chief here. and Arnold, came up with a policy here a couple of years ago called the Million Rooftop Initiative, where under his edict, the state of California, there's going to be solar rooftops on a million new homes over the next 10 years. And the state has a lot of really aggressive subsidies to get people to go that way.
Now, I'm wondering about how you pick your cities on your top 10 list, because I imagine every city someplace is doing something.
Well, Ira, that was really one of our biggest challenges. In fact, 2 years ago in Seattle, there was the U.S. Mayor's Conference, and there's over 700 mayors in the U.S. have signed kind of a Kyoto-like agreement to cut emissions in their hometowns. So, but what we looked at were cities that are doing unique things, and also cities that have been kind of pioneers in the whole alternative energy effort. And one of the first that came to attention was Chicago and their rooftop garden program.
Tell us about that. They're telling people to plant gardens on their roofs.
Yeah, I mean, it seems kind of intuitive. You plant a garden on your roof, and you can lower the temperature. But in Chicago, in a lot of U.S. cities, the rooftop temperatures get as high as 160 degrees. Almost hot.
Sure, you got that flat blacktop on there.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So in 2001, at the Chicago City Hall, which has got a flat roof, they decided they put a garden on there. And lo and behold, it dropped the temperature about 70 degrees, and the power savings in that building have gone down almost $10,000 a year. And so that's immediate savings, and that's something that's spread throughout Chicago. Now, 15 million square feet of buildings in Chicago now have gardens on top of them.
You mentioned Ann Arbor is a good place.
Ann Arbor, you wouldn't think, that's kind of an industrial city, college town, but they're on the leading edge of, kind of the alternative lighting movement.
Right.
And they have switched out to, they're switching all their streetlights. They have, streetlights throughout Ann Arbor that they're going to change to light-emitting diodes, or LEDs. And those LED lights use only half the energy of a traditional incandescent bulb. And Ann Arbor has started doing this. They've started in downtown Ann Arbor, and already they're seeing savings. And over the next few years, they're going to replace all the streetlights. But, surprisingly, it is causing a little strife among some residents.
Yeah, I imagine they like the brightness of those old lights.
Well, exactly. The problem with the LED light is that it's kind of directional. So, if you use it on a streetlight, you need to really it shines in one direction. And so, on a streetlight, you need to shine it down. And for folks who like to see the stars, it's great because the light, the night sky is
right.
Going to be darker. But if you live near, on one of these streets, it's gonna be a darker street. So actually, there was actually a resident complained and said, my home isn't lit up anymore. And the mayor of the city basically said, it's not our job to light up your home.
I imagine some smart person will come up with a lens that just diffuses the light a little bit somewhere.
Exactly. Well, in fact, on some of these street lamps in downtown Ann Arbor, to keep the aesthetic look of kind of the glow, They've actually had to, do some configurations, mirrors, that kind of thing to make it look, like it's glowing.
Tell us about Palm Desert, California.
Palm Desert was really an interesting city. I live in California, by the way. I'm in San Francisco, but San Francisco is pretty cool year-round. Palm Desert, the temperatures there get to over 120 in the summertime. They have air conditioning bills that, believe it or not, go over $1,000. I mean, can you believe that, New York? I mean, that's like a mortgage payment. And so the city was really economically compelled to do something. And so they set out with this really ambitious agenda. In fact, it's one of the most ambitious in the country. They want to... together with the local utilities, Southern California Edison and Southern California Gas, they plan to cut energy use in Palm Desert by 30% by 2011. And this is not just for the city of Palm Desert. This is for everybody, businesses, everything. And they're doing this through these really aggressive rebate programs on, for example, to get you to take out your old air conditioner and put in a new one. They're doing $14 million in grants.
Hmm. Let's. I mentioned what New York City was doing about tidal power. That was sort of really interesting.
Yeah, I bet. If you drive past East River, about 8 feet below the surface there, where Roosevelt Island is.
Yeah.
Between Manhattan and Queens.
Sure.
There are five windmill turbines that are buried in the ground, and right now they're spinning. They're collecting energy. And they're actually providing enough electricity to power a supermarket on Roosevelt Island and a parking garage, believe it or not.
Wow.
And the company behind this, Verdun Power, plans to expand that to like 30 over the next few years.
Right.
And this is all part of Mayor Bloomberg's Plan NYC program, which is also very ambitious, to get New York to cut its emissions significantly by over the next 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Let's hop over to Amsterdam.
Yeah. Now, Amsterdam is another interesting – and, I have to say, when we start talking about Europe has been really ahead of the United States and many other parts of the world on energy efficiency and many other environmental issues. I mean, if you go to Europe, you see all the small cars. I mean, they're kind of where we're going to. But Amsterdam, they've decided that there was one fast-growing part of the city that they decided the one way they could cut emissions was to cut down the air conditioning.
Right.
And there's a lake there that's got cold water, and so they're diverting from like 100 feet deep, which is the cold water, 40 to 41 degrees. They're diverting it into the system where it cools the building. So they're using cold lake water to cool their buildings, which is a pretty, I hate to say it, cool thing, but it's, there are a lot of lakes and a lot of cities could try that. So we thought that was really interesting.
Let me see if I can get one call in before we have to go. Let's go to Donya in Arizona. Hi.
Hi, yeah, my name is Danya, and I live in Williams, Arizona, a little tiny town in the arid southwest, and I guess this is actually kind of a negative representation of what maybe we shouldn't be doing. The town has three city wells that all cost over $1 million apiece to drill, and they're pumping out of those currently right now. However, this particular season, we've had a huge amount of snow and rain, so all of our reserves are full, which is what we pump out of when our wells aren't keeping up. And it's just kind of unfortunate because they're overflowing at a tremendous rate, and it's kind of wasteful in a huge opinion of mine. But, I just kind of thought, they did a good job by trying to find another resource for water, but they're kind of blowing it by not using what's there right now. And it's kind of a shame, so I just kind of wanted to put that out
there. It shows how complicated figuring out just what the right thing to do is.
Yeah, that was a good point that Donya brought up. Donya, did I say that right?
Donya, I think.
Donya. Anyway, I actually have been to Williams, Arizona. It's a nice town. She brought up a good point. The West has had an unusual amount of precipitation this year. It's been really dry. And so there are many inefficiencies. I mean, I live in California. If you go through the California Central Valley, you'll see, irrigation spigots. You'll see the water just running in a cotton field that's already flooded. There's all kinds of things that, we could, clamp down on just to – it's almost kind of low-hanging fruit, things that we could fix up. And it sounds like what she points out in Arizona is one easy one.
Hmm. How effective are incentives, local incentives or countries that give incentives to people to save energy?
Well, they're extremely you know, they're extremely effective. In fact, that's kind of the cornerstone of what's going on in California. I mean, you know, the if you give someone an incentive to, I mean, the problem is, for example, in California, if you want to put a solar system in your house, it can cost $30,000. Very few people have the extra cash to do that, but you know, with rebates and incentives and whatnot, it can be, you know, reduced to $15,000. So, you know, there you go, and the and the payback is about 5 to 7 years. So, I mean, that's a lot more attractive. So, I mean, it's crucial, really, to get this market going with incentives.
Since you've done your top 10 list, have you heard back from cities that thought they should be included?
Oh God, yeah. I mean, you know, Austin, for example. I mean, Austin. Maybe they're even more aggressive than California. They actually started doing it, you know, the early 1980s. Austin, Texas, is a real leader in this. Portland, Oregon, is another leader. Seattle, Washington, Burlington, Vermont. I mentioned Aspen in this story because Aspen's a small little town, but everybody's heard of Aspen, and they have something called the Canary Initiative, which is they're like the canary in the coal mine. You know, when they're dead, you know, then the rest of us are in trouble.
Right.
And so. Yeah, and they're worried about their melting snowpack. But anyway, yeah, there's, you know, literally there's thousands of cities, you know, doing this now.
Mm-hmm. And are you going to continue to look for more? Or
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not just the cities. It's at the state level. You know, Schwarzenegger you know, here in California, I mean, he's, you know, just always doing something. And then very interestingly, with the next administration, whoever it is, all of the leading candidates, you know, McCain, you know, Clinton, Obama, they've all talked about doing a lot on the global warming front. So I think there's going to be big changes on the national level, too.
Well, you know what they say about talk. It's cheap. We'll see what happens. Thank you, Jim, for taking time to be with us.
All right, thanks, Ira.
Jim Carlton is a senior special writer for the Wall Street Journal in San Francisco, talking about his column on the top 10 cities around the world and how they are investing in alternative energies. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about genetic testing. You know, is it a good idea? There are all these gene tests out now for different kinds of diseases and maladies and drug reactions. How well you hold up to the kinds of drugs you take. Are they good? Should you use them without your doctor's advice? We'll come back and talk about that and the caveats that go along with it. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation, Science Friday from NPR News.